I believe it was Matthew Henry that has been said to have said, I didn't hear him say it, but, firmly believing that my times are in God's hand, I here submit myself and all my affairs for the ensuing year to the wise and gracious disposal of God's divine providence. God never moves without purpose or plan. Praise God. And if I really believe, as Matthew Henry said, I'm firmly believing that my times are in God's hand. If I really believe that, then it becomes a little bit extra critical for us to follow the words of Paul when he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, wherefore, or whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, can you say it with me? Do all to the glory of God. Do all. Capitalize that three-letter word, A-L-L. All. Do it all. The glory, or to the glory of God. Amen. Have you gone through some testing? Have you gone through some trial? God can use if we allow Him. Whatever comes our way, He can use it for His glory, if we allow Him. Amen. Boy, I could almost preach on that this morning. But instead, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. This chapter is speaking, this chapter as we know it, is speaking about how a Christian should live, or how a Christian should act. Be ye therefore followers of God, as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Separating ourselves from the things of this world. You go read down through there at some point. Read down through there and you'll see that he's separating the follower of God from the follower of the world. And you could insert into this passage another passage. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You could insert that into this chapter. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Verses 7 and 8. But I want to go over to, in my Bible, the next page. And verse number 15. He's still talking about the same thing. It's about the way that we walk. It's how we act. It's our living. The thought of the thread of grace has gone through my mind this morning. Does the thread of grace thread itself through every day of our lives? The thread of His grace, is it visible, woven into our lives every day that we live? What an incredible thought. I did something this week that I've never done before. You've heard me talk about being a witness, and last Sunday I said even the simple things like as greeting the greeter at Walmart or the cashier and trying to use their name. Some of those simple things in life. One of the most irritating things of life are all of these unnecessary phone calls. Are you getting any of them? The recent one was somebody called me to tell me that my email account was sending out all kinds of viruses to people, and they wanted to get onto my computer and fix it. I said, yeah, I'm sure you do. He argued with me for the longest time, telling me it was a very serious issue. And I said, oh, I'm sure that it is. It's a serious issue because you went on my computer. We went back and forth over it. Finally, I said, sir, let me talk to you about something that is really serious. Okay. He had no clue what was coming because I began to explain to him the plan of salvation, and he listened through the entire time, did not hang up on me like I thought he would. I explained the entire process or the entire thing of the plan of salvation to him. Now, he was sarcastic probably at the end when he said, you've almost made me believe. Maybe he knew enough to know about King Agrippa. I don't know. But I want the grace of God to be visible through everything of my life. Ooh, this is really painful to say, but even in the irritating things of life. Isn't that painful to think about? That the grace of God would be visible everything I do. And here he's talking about, see then that ye walk circumspectly or diligently, carefully, not as fools, but as wise. That's what he's talking about here, is how the Christian is different from the world. There is a diligence, there is a carefulness in the walk, a wisdom in that carefulness. But verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not unwise, but rather instead find out what the Lord wants me or wants you to do. Even in those irritating times. Now, if you're aware of the language well enough, you'll understand that when the King James translates this verse 16 the way that it does, redeeming the time, it's kind of a struggling point. Because redeeming would have to do with buying back. And we know, we're smart enough to know, that once time is gone, you can't buy it back. Someone said that the sun and moon are God's clock, which mark off the year into definite periods. The arrival of each should remind us of the brevity of time. What is time? We mark and measure time by seconds. Very little do we actually understand or talk about seconds, though. We would commonly talk about minutes and hours or days and years. You go back to Genesis chapter 1, I believe it's verse number 14, where God is creating. And God creates the lights in the heavens. And in that verse, he is saying that they are to be for signs and seasons, for days and years, I think is what it says. So when it's somebody's birthday, have you ever heard somebody greet somebody on their birthday as congratulations on another complete orbit around the sun? Because that is another year that has gone by. And here we are, a year ago, we were thinking about the year 2017 and what it would hold for us. Today, we're looking at a year ahead, just a few days into the year, and we're thinking, we're wondering, what does the year ahead hold for me? time. Redeeming the time. What is he saying? What is he trying to get across here that we need to be aware of? It's following the distinct understanding that he is telling us to be careful, that he is telling us to be diligent, that there is something about this thing of wise living that we are to pay attention to when he speaks about time. And though we cannot buy time back, we must be careful that time spent has been redeemed for the glory of God, purchased for the glory of God. Circumspectly, diligently, we are to use time as an investment, or we are to dispose of time, or we are to spend time. Whatever it is, the investment or the disposal or the spending of time, we are to do it with one purpose in mind, and that is to bring honor and glory to God. All that I do, do it to the glory of God. Now, there's a responsibility that has been placed on us. Paul brings it out here when he mentions this three-word phrase, redeeming the time, and he gives us an understanding, though it's not a point-blank, black-and-white, printed understanding. It's something for us that really to grasp a hold of, is that in this thing of redeeming the time, he is saying that there is a moral value of life. Our life is measured by time. Seconds, minutes, hours, days, weeks, months, and the years keep accumulating. And as they accumulate, they go by faster and faster. And as they go by faster and faster, that means that time is slipping away. How many 15-year-olds do we have here today? Any 15-year-olds? There's a couple 15-year-olds. Do you realize that as a 15-year-old, you have slept approximately 5 years of your life? It's not hard to figure out. We sleep approximately 8 hours a day, right? That's what the goal is, at least. Some of you haven't been getting that. Some of you have been getting more than that. 30-year-old. A 30-year. Is anybody here that's 30 years old? Nobody wants to admit it. Oh, there's one back there halfway flashing his hand. You know, you can give or take a year, you know, whatever, 29, 30, 31. As you look at that thought of a third of your life, a third of your life as a 30-year-old, you slept for 10 years. Let's add another dimension to the 30-year-old. You've been eating for almost 2 years. Whew. Some of us more, some of us less. You can just keep figuring that up. However old you are, 60, 75... I wonder what the calculation really comes down to us personally. When you think about the daily activity, you don't really think that a third of your day has been given to sleep. If you work an 8-hour day, you've given a third of your day to work. What is the other part of that other third part being used for? Well, somewhere in there we have that eating that takes place. The moral value of life. How could we or how should we spend or invest our time? Jesus gives us some examples through the Gospels that we can draw out Though he doesn't specify, as we read through those stories or those gospel parables, we don't see him saying, pay attention to this as you're reading Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. We don't see that, or verse 16. We don't see that. But we can understand that we can draw some of these pictures that he paints out and place it within this context. Let's go to Luke's Gospel chapter 15. In Luke's Gospel chapter 15, we can read about the story that we are familiar with as called the prodigal son. You could also in that story call the title of it the prodigal father, because he was extravagant. And normally we think of prodigal as being somebody extravagant on the negative side. And their prodigal son was definitely extravagant on the negative side. That he went out and wasted himself and he wasted his living. And he came to the end of himself. And if we were to look at the end of themselves kind of people, we would have to say and read into this story of the prodigal son that he was broken. He was bruised. The devil had beat him up. There's a lot of hurting people around. Wasted his time. Well, then on the other hand, we find there's the elder brother. I wonder sometimes as I read that story, why God gave this father in the parable just two sons. Is there any validity? Just hold steady. Is there any validity that half of the people that Jesus is talking to are prodigals and half of them are elder brothers? Now, if you think about it and you ponder it, you meditate on it, you'll understand that no, that is not a fitting example, that you can't really draw from that, that there is another side. Well, that other side could be drawn from the father himself. He lived for others. He gave. And when his prodigal son was yet a great way off, he ran to him and welcomed him back. That's a hard thing for us in humanity to do. It really is. We hold people at arm's length that have fallen beneath. We don't know what kind of contamination they bring with them. We don't know what kind of heartache that brings with them. We don't know what kind of time it's going to take that they would bring with them that would cost us time. But then we find the father. He is so willing to give, and he forgets or he ignores all of that potential, and he goes and runs to his fallen son. So we could find it in that parable, the importance of redeeming the time, our time. We could also go to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. And in the Gospel of Matthew, we'll see the story about the three individuals that received talents. And they were told to go and do something with those talents so that when the master returned, he could receive it again. And so the one that had the most talents went out and he doubled his talents. The one that had the next amount of talents went out and doubled his talents so that he could bring back twice as much as what he was given. But then there was that one that hid his talent. Now, that's all different story for us. And we can say, well, that's speaking about a completely different thing. Well, in essence, it is. But also, in essence, it's speaking about the necessity or the importance of diligently taking care of our time. Because it's given to us by the Master. It's given to us by God. And He wants us to redeem the time. Though we can't take the time that He's given us and double it, we can take the time that He's given us and invest it for His glory and for His purpose and for His kingdom. invest it to good purpose. What kind of a purpose, or what kind of a person is it that invests the precious gift of time or the precious gift of life for the service of self? What kind of a person is that? It's the other person. If we were to define it in a one-word definition, we probably all would come to that same conclusion, that a person that invests his time for self would be simply defined as a selfish person. But as we understand the Word of God, we have to understand that a selfish person though we don't want to judge somebody, according to the Bible, it would indicate that a selfish person is a person that is living for self, and if they're living for self, they're not a Christian. And if they're not a Christian, they are, boy, it takes a long time to get that word out. If they're living for self, they're living for sin. How are we to invest our time? The years before us. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but time has value. The reason why time has value is because it's limited, and once it's gone, it's gone. We need to be careful about time. We need to be diligent about time because not only is it of value, we also understand that time is relatively short. I mean, our time is relatively short. We must be diligent about time because the future is uncertain. We don't have any promise of tomorrow. We don't have any promise of the next day or the year after. And a third of my life is spent sleeping, approximately. A large portion is spent eating. A large portion is spent working. What am I doing with my time to bring glory to God Himself? That's why we must take Paul's words that I've already mentioned, whether I eat or drink or whatsoever I do, do all. So that every breath I take, every moment of my life, is a reflection of the thread of grace that God provides that flows continually through our lives. Time can never be recalled. Wasted years can never be brought back. What can I do to redeem the time? I'm not real big on New Year's resolutions. It appears to me that resolutions for the new year kind of evaporate in short order. Saw somebody was asking for a treadmill or some exercise machine. They were looking for some kind of an exercise machine. And there was a few people that responded to that and say, I have one. It's in the barn or it's covered up or... They bought it with good intentions. Set some goals. I think my wife talked about that Wednesday evening, setting goals. Establishing points that we want to arrive at. I know that's not proper grammar, ending with that. Pushing for a specific goal. When we come to this thought of time, and it's an important thing for us to consider, perhaps a good time to consider right now at the beginning of another year, because it's laying before us with all the possibilities that are there and with all the problems that are potentially there, that we have within our mind that goal that everything I do. Even if it's been wasted in the past, even if at this point I am broken, even if at this point I am hurting, even at this point I feel useless or wasted, nobody wants me, nobody cares, or whatever the circumstances are, whatever that is at this point, I can know that by the grace of God, I can start afresh and anew, and by His grace, I can have His grace continue to be threaded through my life, woven through the details of my life, so that another year rolls by, if Jesus tarries and breath remains, that I can look back and say that I have done my best to invest my time for God's glory, for Him to be seen. I firmly believe that my times are in God's hand. I here submit myself and all of my affairs, everything that I do for the ensuing year, to the wise and gracious disposal of God's divine providence. I believe Matthew Henry was on to something with that. Good for us to consider and to use for our own goal of this year. Spending, investing time for the glory of God. Our time that has been given to us, that has been allotted to us, that we invest it for Him. And by His grace, that grace is threaded and woven through our lives day by day. Let's stand together. Wisdom with our time. Walking circumspectly, diligently, carefully, redeeming the time. May God help us. Praise God. Thank you for your attendance and attention this morning. Trust God would give you a good day in Him. Praise God. Praise God. Greg Hampton, would you dismiss us this morning?